Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Pelshia, moderator of Kalpataru Power Transmission and JMC Projects India Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning to everyone on the call and also the management. Welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings call of Kalpataru Power Transmission Limited and JMC Projects. We have Mr. Vishesh Pachnanda, VP and Head Investor Relations of the entire Kalpataru Group. I'll hand over the call to him to introduce the entire management, and post which, we'll open up the floor, post the opening remarks for Q&A. Over to you, Vishesh.
Thanks, Bhoomika. Thank you for hosting the call today for us. A very good morning to all the participants. This is Vishesh Pachnanda. I'm pleased to welcome you to Kalpataru Power Transmission Limited and JMC Projects Limited earnings call for the second quarter of the fiscal year 2022-2023. We have with us today the management team represented by Mr. Manish Mohnot, the Managing Director and CEO, Mr. S.K. Tripathi, Managing Director and CEO of JMC Projects, Mr. Amit Uplenchwar, Director, Group Strategy and Subsidiary Operations, and Mr. Ram Patodia, President, Finance and CFO. We will start with a few minutes of opening remarks by Mr. Manish, and then we can open the floor for Q&A. With that, and without any further delay, over to you, Manish, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning and a warm welcome to all of you for the earnings call of Kalpataru Power Transmission and JMC Projects for the quarter ended September 2022. First, I will put forward a quick update on our performance, post which I will appraise you on the individual business and key strategic matters. We have reported consolidated revenue growth of 7% in Q2 and 11% in H1, driven by strong execution and healthy order book in B&F, water and international business. Our consolidated EBITDA margin improved by 70 basis points to 9.2% in Q2 and has remained flat at 9% in H1. Our improvement in EBITDA margin is largely led by higher execution and a better business mix in the civil business at JMC. Our EBITDA margin at KPTL standalone continues to remain under pressure given higher commodity and logistic costs, volatility in currency and commodities, lower revenues and delays in project closures. The softening commodity price and the decline in logistic costs are now very much visible, and with the new orders that are quoted at better price levels, we expect the margin profile to improve. Our consolidated PBT before exceptional items improved by 17% in Q2 to rupees 150 crores and 13% in H1 to rupees 289 crores. Our exceptional item in Q2 and H1 pertains to Sri Shivam Logistics on account of sale of cold storages which had minimal value. Our reported PAT improved by 18% to rupees 98 crores in Q2 and 16% to rupees 186 crores in H1 2023. Our consolidated net debt stands at rupees 2,905 crores. Our net debt in core EPC business, excluding the road BOOT assets and Sri Shivam Logistics, stands at around 2,046 crores. Our net working capital days in core EPC stands at around 140 days as on September 2022, compared to around 121 days in March 2022. The increase in debt levels can be attributed to higher working capital requirement in JMC to compensate with the business growth, lower collections in domestic T&D and oil and gas business, and postponement in the closure of old projects. We have witnessed improvement in collections in the month of October, which has led to a decline in net debt by around rupees 150 crores in October. We continue to witness a strong momentum in order booking, and business outlook has meaningfully improved over the past few months. In fact, it is significantly better than our expectations at the beginning of the year, which has led us to rethink on our CapEx plans for the year. As such, we have now accelerated our growth plans and capacity building in the B&F and international civil business. This should benefit us in gaining strategic advantage in key markets and businesses going forward. We expect working capital to normalize by the end of the financial year. Moreover, our focused efforts to bring further efficiency in working capital, speedy project closures, and proceeds from the sale of Indore asset will help us further in our deleveraging journey. We are targeting net working capital days in a range of 110 to 120 days for our EPC business by the end of the year. We are witnessing a strong momentum in order booking as we have already secured orders of ₹14,388 crores at the consol level. Additionally, we have an L1 position of approximately 6,000 crores. Our consol order book is at an all-time high of 38,550 crores as on 30th September, with visibility of more than 47,000 crores as of today, including L1. Now coming to individual businesses. In the T&D business, business remains impacted largely due to a lower opening order book. We continue to strategically scale up our T&D business with notable order wins in key markets. We have secured orders including an L1 position of over ₹8,300 crores as of date. This provides us with good visibility for growth going forward as execution of new orders will start in Q4 of this financial year. Our Sweden subsidiary Linje Montage has reported revenue of ₹256 crores in Q2 and ₹522 crores for H1 with an order book of ₹950 crores at the end of September 22 and margins are in the range of 7-8%. Our Brazil subsidiary Fastel has revenue of ₹98 crores in Q2 and ₹221 crores in H1 with an order book of around 1,036 crores at the end of September 22. The Brazil subsidiary still has a marginal loss at an EBITDA level. Our order visibility in the T&D business remains robust in domestic and international markets given the push for renewables and the requirements for new transmission lines. We believe we are in a sweet spot and one of the key beneficiaries of the global energy transition which is underway. In the B&F business, we have achieved revenue growth of 24% in Q2 on the back of robust execution and a healthy order book. We continue to diversify our client base and have added new clients in the commercial and residential building segments and forayed into civil works for data centers. Our YTD order intake is ₹1,968 crores and the order book stands at ₹8,687 crores. There is an all-round pickup in the real estate business, including commercial residential, which augurs very well for our B&F order book and outlook. Our water business recorded strong growth of 53% led by robust execution. We have secured orders of ₹4,060 crores till date in financial year 23 and additionally we have a sizable L1 position in the water business. Our order book in the water business is at a record level of 8,300 crores. Over the past couple of years we made focused efforts on capability building and have emerged amongst the leading players in the water business in India. Given the government's thrust on tap water supply and JJM scheme and huge capital allocation, the water business continues to hold enormous growth potential for us. Our railways business declined marginally given impact of monsoon and select projects. We forayed in the high growth metro rail electrification space, thereby expanding our portfolio and clientele. Our order visibility has significantly improved in the railways across both conventional and emerging areas like metro, RRTS and high speed rail. In the oil and gas business, we have secured orders of around ₹1,200 crores and have a decent L1 position. The business reported growth of over 40% in Q2 23. We continue to focus on India and international market to drive sustainable growth in the oil and gas business. In the urban infra business, we continue to focus on metro rail, elevated structures, public spaces, airports, etc. We have secured elevated viaduct metro rail and integrated airport project during the year. We are confident to significantly scale up and improve our market position in the urban infra business in India and international market going forward. In case of our road boot projects, we have witnessed good improvement in traffic across all three road assets. Our per day revenues increased from ₹44.1 lakhs per day in Q2 last year to ₹49.7 lakhs per day in Q2 this year. We have infused an additional amount of ₹42 crores in H1 23 largely to fund the repayment. For WEPL, we have received consent from lenders and expect the restructuring to complete by March 23. With respect to VEPL, we are taking all appropriate steps to improve viability and ensure reduction in further capital infusion. Our sale in Indore Real Estate remains on a good growth trajectory. We expect to complete sales of the balance 35-40% of the inventory over the next 10 to 12 months. We have received cash flows in the range of around 50 crores till date in the current financial year and we expect further 100 crores in the next 6 months. As far as update on the KPTL and JMC merger is concerned, we have received no observation letter from SEBI and stock exchanges. We have also received shareholder approval. We expect order from NCLT anytime soon. We plan to complete the merger latest in Q4 23. On the concluding note, I would like to highlight that business visibility remains strong across all our businesses with a tender pipeline in excess of rupees 1000 billion over the next few quarters. Our current order book and the diverse business mix gives us confidence to deliver consolidated revenue growth in excess of 15% with a stable margin profile for the full year 23. We continue to judiciously monitor our capital employed and are working very hard to reduce the net debt by improving working capital cycle and achieving planned targets with respect to non-core business and assets. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from Parikshit Kanpal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, Manish ji. Congratulations on a decent quarter, sir. So my first question is, you've given a very robust outline to your presentation, but still we remain conservative on our growth guidance, 15% plus. So if you can just give some more granularity on how much growth is expected in KPTL and how much in JMC, and potentially what could be the upside risk to this growth.
Good morning, Parikshit. At JMC, we clearly see growth in the range of 20 to 25%, if not more, for the entire year. At KPTL, at the beginning of the year, we looked like we were confident of a growth of 10 to 15%, but it now looks like more to be in the range of 7.5 to 10%. We have a very good visible order book, but a lot of our orders get converted to revenue only in Q4 and after that because of design-related issues, environment clearances, and all of that. So on a consolidated basis, while we are confident of 15% growth, we are not revising our target as of now. We would be revisiting these numbers at the end of Q3.
So is it right to look at that for the next year, KPTL growth will be much higher given we have a strong order backlog and the wins which have happened for us. So what kind of growth can you pencil in for FY24 for both JMC and KPTL?
So, Parikshit, clearly, from a perspective of next year and the year after that, I'm sure you're visible, you are aware of our target of 25,000 crores by 2025. So next 2 years, we definitely look at growing at closer to 20%, if not more. Given the order book visibility of closer to 47,000 crores today, I don't see that to be a challenge at all.
Okay. So, so Kalpatru will move, KPTL will move more towards 20 and JMC could be like 30%?
I would stick to a consol number now, more than getting into specifics of the business. Consol number even next year, while we stand today, looks like easily being in the range of 15 to 20, more towards 20% plus.
Okay. And so both on the margin side, how do you see this year, so FY23 for both the companies and for FY24, how do you see the margins?
So as far as margins for 23 is concerned, we definitely see improvement in margins happening across the board. A lot of historical issues, whether it was on commodity or logistic cost or, the volatility in FX, all of them look like being behind us. So while we stand today, we definitely look like by Q4, we should be targeting consolidated margins to be much higher levels of 9%. So on an annualized basis, we have targeted EBITDA margins to be in the range of 9 to 9.5% on a consolidated basis, and we believe we will be there. As far as next year is concerned, we definitely expect margins to improve, but I would not like to quantify that today. You will have to wait for some more time before we give you exact margin profile getting into next year.
Okay. One more question, coming back to the pledge, so this has been one of the tricky questions. I mean, the other parts of businesses have recovered quite well, but this one overhang is still continues and we have not seen any major movement. So we have been talking about, even in the last quarter, we mentioned that there could be some reduction going post Q2. So, and recently we have heard from the media news that there's been a large sale of real estate land by the group parent, and besides that, the sector is also doing quite well. So, based on the cash flows which the group may have at the parent level, so how do you see the de-pledging of shares from here on till the year end, from the current approximately 50% of pledged shares?
So, Parikshit, we had a discussion with the senior management of KL on this aspect. We have been informed that cash flows have significantly improved at the Kalpataru Limited on the real estate basis. We have also seen some movement in divestment of land assets, which we all read in the newspapers a few weeks ago. We have been informed by them that pledge reduction has started already, and you'll see some movements happening as early as this week, and over a period of time, gradually it will reduce. We do not have any specific targets of Q3, Q4, but we have been informed that gradually pledge reduction will reduce because the cash flows have improved significantly across all projects.
But any timeline more on a longer term where it has a pathway towards zero pledge, say maybe next financial year, FY24, and so any sense over there, or directionally it will now keep reducing? If you can give some more color on that.
So Parikshit, we do not have a defined timeline for this, except the fact that gradually things will only reduce, and given huge cash flows which have improved significantly, it's going to be one way of reduction only.
Oh, so you're not going to see any now volatility there in terms of up and down. It's only going to be directionally going down, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And just the last question for SKT. Sir, this quarter, this half, we have again done a loss funding of about 42 crores, which you have highlighted. So, which is a number which looks to be on a higher side. Once this restructuring of WEPL happens by this year end, and you said the measures have been taken at WEPL, so how do you see this loss funding for the next year? So if you can break it up both for the shortfall of loan and for the major maintenance for FY24 and 23 both.
Right. So good morning, Parikshit. Two things. One is there is an uptick in the revenue in the projects that we have just said that there is an almost growth of 20% in the revenue. That is one thing. And with the restructuring, but at the same time, the maintenance of these assets are almost seven and a half year old, and they will require some money in terms of the part of the long-term maintenance which are due in the projects. Now, those long-term maintenance, we have decided strategically to spread over a couple of years rather than doing it in one shot. So, seeing all this in the next half, we may have to infuse another 25-30 crores, including the maintenance and shortfall of the loan. And the next year, this year, the total number will be in the range of about 70 to 80 crore. Next year, we can see with the same revenue uptick, including the maintenance, we will be in the range of about 50 to 60 crore without restructuring. If the restructuring happens, this number will further come down by 25 to 30 crore.
Okay. Got it, sir. Yeah. And lastly, I'm sorry, on the Indore real estate, how much is the total residual inventory to be sold, and what is the residual collections, including on this sold value and the balance value?
So we have approximately 40% of our inventory yet to be sold, and if you look at, we have sold around 60% of the inventory, including residential and commercial both. As of today, if you look at the current value of investment post impairment is in the range of 275 to 280 crores, and we expect to collect all of that in the next 12 to 18 months. So around 40% of the inventory is yet to be sold.
So 280 is the 40% value, or sir, it's like total 100%? I mean, I just want the number, how much
it's
is
the 40% value. It's the 40% value. Current value of investment post impairment. This is post impairment we took last year.
So 280 crores has to be collected over 12 to 18 months. And is there any cost component to it, or is this pure cash flows?
So So there is a cost component to it, because there's half a building which yet needs to be done, a lot of finishing work needs to be done. So there's approximately 15% of this, 15 to 20%, which would be the cost component.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manikji. Good morning and congratulations to the whole team of Kalpataru and JMC on a very good performance on a challenging time. Manikji, one question first is on the PBT margin side, because we generally give the guidance on the PBT. So in first half, we have achieved around 3.8%. In full year, we are guiding for 4.5% to 5%. So which implies that in second half, we expect to report around 5% to 5.75% kind of a PBT margin. So which are the levers, if you can explain first part on that. And second question, I'll come back later on.
Good morning, Bharat Bhai. Yes, we have guided for a PBT margin in the range of 4.5% plus. And we believe we should be achieving that. We should be very closer to that number by the end of the year. A significant uptick in margin comes from the following aspects. One, typically the revenue for the last 6 months, if you look at any EPC contracting business, including ours, is much higher than what we do in the first 6 months. It's typically been a ratio of 40 to 60. So that is the first leverage, because, you know, on an overheads, on allocation of costs, all of that, that makes a difference. Second, typically collections in the next last 6 months is always higher. You know, and if you see historically, you'll always see the debt goes up in the first two quarters and it reduces in quarter three, quarter four. And that will also help us leverage on in terms of interest cost and a few other parameters. And third and the most important, you know, a lot of our new orders, which we have secured in the last 12 to 18 months, do not have any of those legacies of cost, whether it was commodity or COVID or logistics or any of that. And that would also help us improve our margin. Is it going to be an easy task? No. But as a team, we are committed to being in the range of 4.5% plus PBT margin for the entire year.
Okay. So is that fair understanding that then again in 24 that there is a further scope of improving this PBT margin by around 50 to 100 basis points?
Bharatbhai, we definitely believe margins would improve going forward in the next 2 years, but I'm not going to give a number as of today, because we still have not done a detailed business plan for the next year, but we definitely believe there will be a margin improvement getting into next year.
Okay, and last question, if you, with your permission, if you can give from 2-3 years perspective, the which business is likely we are seeing more traction, and how the order inflow, domestic as well as international, both separately, if you can give some color, which will grow much faster and where we are seeing further scope.
So, Bharatbhai, we believe that out of our focus 6 businesses, or I could even say 7 businesses, there are 3 which would grow at 20% plus. The 3 are the international business, which includes both transmission and civil. The water business, given the thrust by the government and capital allocation, and the buildings and factories business. So this 3 business, we believe, can easily grow in the range of 15 to 20%, if not more, and will continue to be profitable in the range of 9 to 10% EBITDA, if not higher. On the other businesses, our oil and gas business, we are focusing a lot more international, and depending upon, you know, what wins we get there, that business could be either in that single digit range or a very high double digit range, because we are now qualified in 6-7 countries and we have bid for a lot of projects. But the competitive pressure is very high, so we are not going to get into that business only for revenue, but we will do that business if we believe it has margin which is sustainable. On the T&D domestic business, a lot of projects are coming up, but a lot of them have got deferred also. You know, whether you look at last, 6 months ago, we were speaking about Leh Ladakh, 6 months ago, we were speaking about a lot of projects in Northeast, a lot of them have got deferred. So while the opportunities exist and they continue to improve, given the thrust by the government on one, connectivity, and second, the new thermal tenders also coming up, we believe that business will do well in the long run, but the next 2 years, it would be a single-digit growth. On the railways business, we will continue to be selective. you know, because of the competitive pressure across all segments of the business. On an average, we are seeing 15 to 18 bidders on that business. So we would not like to be in that herd mentality of taking, you know, business only for top line. Our focus on the infrastructure business is very, very high. We won two projects in the last 6 months, the Kanpur Metro and the airport project at Maldives. And that's one business which we will build. But again, selectively, we would not do that business only for, you know, getting a top line kind of revenue, but making sure that we are present in all the segments of urban infrastructure from a long-term perspective. So with that mix, we believe growing at a 20% plus for the next 2 years will not be a challenge.
Okay, fair. I'll come back in a queue. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Vinit Anand from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to delve a bit deeper on the working capital side. If you see your debt levels, right, from 1Q till now, it is up by more than 300 crores. If you can just give a granular picture, which segments are you facing issues? We have heard, you know, some of the companies saying about railways. And why are these issues and how do you see it getting solved? Because you said that, you know, net working capital would normalize by March end. That's my first question.
Sure. See, on a working capital, are we at an alarming level? Let me be very, very frank on responding. We are not. Typically in our business, we always see the first 6 months working capital going up because, you know, a lot of clients, their budget numbers, their ability to pay, a lot of advances all start coming from Q3, Q4. Okay, so yes, debt levels have gone up. But if I divide this into three segments, one, at JMC, the growth has been so high, so debt levels have gone up by 150 crores, which is very commensurate with the growth. At Kalpataru, we had a few collections which got delayed and which came in October, and that's why we declared that in October our debt levels have come down by further 150 crores. So to us today, there isn't anything which is sticky in the sense of saying that this project or that project. Yes, a few projects we have some issues which are getting sorted out, and we believe in Q3, Q4 they'll get sorted out. We also have got some huge claims coming in from ECGC on one of our international projects at Afghanistan where, you know, the work was stalled because of force majeure reasons. So, on a totality, if you ask me, is there a concern in terms of working capital or debt? No, it is not. It is a typical cycle where first two quarters it goes up and it stabilizes again by Q3, Q4. And we're pretty confident of that.
So, what is the money that is stuck in Afghanistan for us?
So our total exposure to Afghanistan was closer to 150 crores and we've got closer to 120 crores from ECGC already on that claim. We had an ECGC claim on that. So our net exposure would be less than 30 crores against which we have some advances also. So today, as of today, our net exposure would be very minimal on Afghanistan.
Okay. Secondly, last year I remember we got a large order, HVDC order from Chile, right? If you can just highlight, I think it was a large order. So the engineering, etc. has started there or is it, the first few steps have started? If you could give a detail on that.
Sure. So the project is on track. The entire aspect of engineering as well as environment clearances with the client needs to do and a few of the clearances are all on track. So we believe that the project in terms of revenue delivery would start only by Q3 of next year. Till that time, we have to finish engineering and approvals, which are all on track. We now have a big team in Chile, which is working on the project. And post that project, we have also won two more projects in Chile, which are smaller in nature, with the same client and with another client. And we're pretty confident that this project is going to be a big advantage for us in entering into that entire market.
Okay. So from KPTL perspective, what is the margin that we are expecting for 23, sir?
I responded to this question earlier also. As far as the next year is concerned, we will come back on margins. As far as the current year is concerned, we are working hard to make sure that our EBITDA margins goes up from the current levels of 8.1% to 8.5 and 9%. We still will have some challenges in Q3 given that there's still historical order book which needs to be executed and new order book revenue does not come. But getting into Q4, we believe we should be in that EBITDA range of 9%.
Thanks, sir. Those were my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Swarnam Maheshwari from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is on the balance sheet. Now, I am looking at this H1 balance sheet, the consolidated balance sheet, and I can see the gross, the borrowings at about 4,200 odd crores, whereas the presentation highlights at about 3,700 odd crores. So what is this 500 crores, you know, this difference pertaining to?
So, I know I just had to look at one of my colleagues, I'll be very frank on this, and I immediately got a response. Okay, so on the two transmission assets which we have sold, you know, we have already got the entire cash flow. We had declared that earlier, the one which was sold to Adani and CLP. We've already got the entire cash flow, but the transfer of equity is still happening because of, you know, the TSA. So while you see that number coming in loan, but there's already a cash flow which is already received, so we net that off. There's no money pending to be received. It's only a accounting entry to be passed as and when the equity gets transferred. So that is a difference of around 600 crores on the loan book.
So fair enough. But then I think shouldn't the net debt be at 3,500 odd crores instead of 2,900 odd crores? That is reflected in the presentation because we have already received the money.
Yeah, so that's what net debt is at 2,900. So net debt also reduces cash, right? So there are two aspects, two questions you asked. One, why is the gross different? I've explained you. Net, for net debt, you will have to also reduce cash. So we have cash which is visible on the balance sheet of around 500 to 600 crores, which has been reduced. And that's exactly what we've been following as reporting for the last, whatever, 5, 6, 7, or as many number of years. You can see the cash and cash equivalents is clearly visible. 810 crores cash and cash equivalent on a consolidated level is visible. We've also presented that.
Okay, maybe sir, I'll understand that later. Sir, my second thing is, if you just look at from YOY basis, from Q2, I mean, our net debt levels taking at 2,900 odd crores, it has really not gone anywhere. This is after the asset sale, and I believe in the last 12 months, we would have actually sold some of the inventories at Indore also. So, you know, what is it that is it the working capital pressure that is, you know, visible on this heightened numbers? Because in Q1, we did actually report 2,300 crores of net debt. So this is just the working capital pressure or something else also?
No, I think it's only and only the working capital numbers, which is commensurate with the growth and at least our civil business, one. Second, it's also delay in a lot of advances which we plan to take after the increase in interest rates. So you remember we discussed this last year saying that we, you know, when interest rates were so low, we are not taking too many client advances. Now we have decided to do that and that will help us further leverage our debt. So it's only and only working capital and it's a typical cycle. So if you go back to the years before, last 5 years, you'll see first two quarters it goes up and improves in Q3, Q4. It's only and only working capital. There's nothing else beyond working capital in this. There's no investments. There is a small investment. Yes, we acquired 15% stake in the balance stake of our erstwhile promoter in Sweden. Yes, that's what we have done. We have infused some equity or some advances to Brazil. But otherwise, significant portion, if not the entire portion, is only working capital.
Sure. So what is our targeted net debt levels by the end of this year?
So on a consolidated EPC business, we still continue to be having a target of further reduction of 300 to 400 crores from where we were at the beginning of the year. So at the beginning of the year, we were at a net debt of capital and GMC of around 1500 odd crores. So we are targeting to be below that definitely. We will revisit this based on our revised CAPEX plans. I had mentioned earlier that we are, you know, increasing our CAPEX plans from the year from 350 crores on a consolidated to 500 crores. So with the increase in CAPEX plans, there could be some small change in this, but on a net debt level, capital plus GMC, we're targeting to be below 1500 crores definitely by the year end.
Oh, so by this is 1500 crores by the year end?
Yes, by the year end.
Almost half from the current length.
No, it's not half. Yeah, 2300 to 1500 crores is only 800 crores. Half makes it 1200 crores. Every rupee counts on this number, yeah.
No, sure. I was actually looking at 2900 crores of a net debt. That is where I was coming from.
Okay.
All right.
So we are. We've seen already an improvement in October. October itself, it's come down by around 150 crores. So I'm again correcting this so that we clear. What number I gave you was KPTL and JMC together. As far as Shubham and Roadboot assets are continued, they will continue to be at those levels unless the restructuring happens.
Right. Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Kunal Sheth from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to get your comments on the railway side specifically. You know, how has been the traction there? Because, you know, there is a lot of excitement around railways that we've been hearing. So just wanted to hear your views. Is there a real traction happening in railways in terms of in which sub-segments? And a related question here is that have we augmented our capabilities in terms of number of segments that we cater in railways meaningfully over the last 12 months?
Okay, so let me first answer your second question. Over the last 12 months, we continuously focused on improving our PQ and competency in this segment, whether it is on signaling, whether it is on metro electrification, whether it is on large civil projects. So as of today, I think we are qualified for everything in the railway space except maybe the high-speed corridor, which also along with JMC as a merged entity, we will qualify. As far as the opportunity is concerned, yes, the opportunity is very high on all four areas. One is the high-speed rail and related areas. Second is expansion of two tracks to four tracks. Third is electrification. And fourth is signaling. And fifth, if I had to add the entire metro, whether it is a metro civil, metro electrification, or a combination of these projects. So from a traction perspective, yes, there is a lot of opportunities and it looks very attractive. The only challenge is the competitive pressure in some of the segments is extremely high. So on smaller size projects of 100 to 200 crores, at times we've seen 15 competitors bidding. On bigger size projects, yes, we still see 6-7 people bidding. So while the opportunity is high, I'm not personally sure or that whether this would be very attractive from a margin perspective, at least for the next 2 years. Second, a lot of railway projects, the entire working capital cycle is very back-ended. So everything is milestone-based payment and you get a lot of payments after you have done 90% of your work. So with that also, it's very important for us as Kalpatru to be very conscious of saying that what is the order book we need to build? Because we just don't want to build an order book which has a stretch on the working capital. So while the opportunity looks good, we are not as bullish as on the international businesses, B&F business and water business. But we believe that from a long-term perspective, this space would be very meaningful both in India and international.
Great, sir. Sir, will it be possible to put a number to this opportunity size and probably what would have been the same number, say, 6 months back or 12 months back to get a sense of, quantum of opportunity?
I think you'll have to just speak to my team to get the numbers. I don't know about last year, but I know while we speak today, we have more than 10,000 crores of railway tenders to be bid in the next 4 to 5 months. A lot of them on metro, a few on electrification, and a lot of them on, further expansion of two tracks to four tracks or one to two. As far as the previous year numbers are concerned, it might help if you can just connect with my team and get a feel of the entire numbers.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for such a detailed answer. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Prem Kurana from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So my questions are related to JMC projects. So I think when we started the year, we were targeting almost around 10 to 11,000 odd crore rupees of orders, and when I look at the way we have been able to perform till this time, I think we already have 7,500 crore rupees of firm order, and there is 11 of another around 1,700, so we are almost there. So given the fact that we are very close to our target now, so how does that change the way you approach any new project? I mean, would this make you kind of raise your margin expectations now, or we are happy with the 9-10% margin that we generally target, even otherwise?
So, good morning, Prem. As far as the order book is concerned, you are right. We are touching almost to the yearly target. But as we said in the beginning of the year also, that we are not running after the order book. It is only when we get the selective opportunities, we go and pick it up. So the same trend will continue in the next half also. As far as the margin is concerned, we have said earlier also that our entire quest is there when we are booking at the order is to improve the margins. So given the look and feel what we have in the order book today, we should move towards the improvement of the margins at least for next 1 or 2 years.
Sure. And the second question was on the order backlog conversion ratio. So when I look at each of these three segments that we gave out in our presentation, water, BNF and infra. So when I look at infra, the conversion ratio seems to be a little slow. I think we're doing around 100-120 odd crore rupees kind of number on a quarterly basis on an order backlog of almost around 3,000 odd crore rupees, which seems to be on a slower side. I mean, when I compare with, let's say, either BNF or water. So do we have any slow moving orders, or then some of these orders are still kind of gained traction in terms of the execution, which would explain this low conversion ratio in infra space specifically?
Right. So that order book of 3,000 odd crores, it also connotes about 2,500 crore orders of international highways. And they are long gestation projects. Both the projects, Ghana and Ethiopia, they are 4 years gestation period projects. In fact, we have done just 1 year in those projects, which out of that 6 months remains the mobilization period. And that is why you are seeing the low traction there. And domestic, anyway, it is 500-600 crore order book. Out of that, a substantial portion is under the last phase where we are closing the projects. And that is why on that two, on the infra side, you see the low traction compared to the water and the BNF.
And possible to share, I mean, what would be the average execution cycle for each of these three segments, and based on the kind of orders that you have in these segments? So as you explained, I mean, this is essentially infra would be long gestation with some of these projects running in 4 years itself. And how would the number be for, let's say, I mean, water and buildings in terms of average execution cycle?
So we can send you across the details, but in general, the water will be around 3 years. BNF will be 2.5 years because our larger order book is with the private, right? If you do the analysis of our order book on the BNF, being private, there the conversion cycle is faster. Water, it could be in the range of 2.5 to 3 years. And the infra, as I said, since the currently that order book is predominantly weighed upon by the international project where the project duration itself is 4 years. That is why it is looking 3+.
And any update on asset sale efforts that were underway? I mean, we want to sell RBOT toll asset. So any progress? I mean, any new updates that you would?
We're not able to hear your question clearly. Can you repeat the last one?
Yeah. So I mean, I want to understand if we've made any progress on our asset sale efforts, right? I mean, we wanted to sell our BOT toll asset. So any update that you would like to share with us?
So currently, we are not looking at the sale because rather than we are focusing on the restructuring, there is an uptick in the revenue itself. So we'll wait if we have to open the sale options going forward. So currently we are not looking at this.
Yeah. Sure. And just one last, if I may, with your permission, I think, in your opening remarks, I mean, you spoke about 20-25% kind of revenue growth for JMC in this year.
But I mean, if I were to continue with the run rate that we have in Q2, almost around 1800 crore rupees, and get to have similar kind of number in the next two quarters, get me to almost around 30% kind of growth. So are we being a little conservative, or I mean, you see some challenges, which is why I mean you're guiding on a lower side? I mean, generally, I mean, H2 tends to be better than H1, right? I mean, if we can do 1800 crore in a monsoon head quarter, I mean, I would be under the impression that Q3 and Q4 ideally should be better than 1800 odd crore rupees. So how should I kind of connect these or understand this thing, the growth target that you're giving?
So while I agree with you, H2 numbers will be higher. And but at the same time, yes, there is some amount of conservatism is applied, which is required for this kind of business where we are, because we are working like water project there with the state governments, right? And giving the situation that the half the country is in the election mode, right? And that is why we are cautious with the numbers. You know how the things goes on. And that is why we are a bit cautious with the numbers.
And I'll just add to what SKT said. See, while the order book visibility is good and we don't have anything which is sticky projects, but we're very, very conscious of the working capital requirements.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And historically, we have seen around phases of, sometimes around some phases of the political environment, you have projects which get delayed for a few months. And that's a time where we have to be very, very quick in reactive so that we don't get blocked on working capital. So yes, we could do better, but we'll be happy to be cautious at this stage and then take a final call maybe at the end of Q3 or by the year.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's it from my end. All the very best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Arfad Sayed from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question, can you please discuss on an order pipeline on a 4KTPL and how T&D and non-T&D will change going ahead? As you've seen from a 4KTPL in the metro segment?
So Arafat, good morning. I did explain this earlier, but I'll just repeat that. You know, the pipeline looks very good on majority of the segments, you know, whether it is water, whether it is transmission, whether it is B&F, whether it is oil and gas. But within those, the markets are very, very different. So international markets look much better than domestic markets on transmission. On oil and gas, again, both domestic and international look good. On water, domestic looks much better than international. So on an average, you know, we believe that at least our core businesses growing at a high double digit will not be a challenge for the next 2 years. And I'll just add to it, today visibility in order book is closer to 2.5 years at a consol level. So today we have a visibility of around 47,000 crores and expected revenue at the year end is closer to 17,000 crores. So with that number, it's like 2.7, 2.8 times. So growth challenge looks minimal. The real challenge is to make sure that we focus on projects where we can, one, make reasonable return on capital employed. Second, closure challenges are minimal. And third, they are in geography stroke segments where long-term opportunity is high. So we will be focusing a lot more also on international business for the civil business. You know, today if you see the international portfolio, it is 90% transmission, 10% roads. And there's one project in B&F and a few projects in water. So our aim is over the next 3 to 5 years, try and make sure that internationally across all segments where we exist, whether it is water, whether it is railways, whether it is roads, whether it is oil and gas, whether it is B&F, we continue to grow. So opportunity looks good. Growth will not be a challenge. We just need to focus on improving our margins and return on capital employed.
Then next on, sir, how the mix of T&D and non-T&D will change?
On a consolidated basis, and I'm sure you would have looked at the analyst presentation which we have sent, and if you look at our consolidated basis order book which we have, you see that, you know, T&D as a whole is hardly at around 20%. So, or 25% on a totality if I include Linje Montage and Fastil. So, on a consolidated basis, I think T&D is going to be not more than, so if you look at the KPTL console order book as of now, you can see T&D is only 30%, water is 28%,
Urban and railways 20%, oil and gas 8%, and B&F 14%. So I believe on a consolidated basis, T&D will be in the range of 30-35% only.
Fine, that's it.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Manizhi, thanks for the opportunity again. So when we are talking of this green energy opportunity where it is, I mean, Europe is very aggressive and we have fair amount of presence in Nordic region. And also if you can give color tower transmission shipment to US market where we are seeing a big kind of opportunity coming up as well as South America.
Just to answer your first question, yes, green hydrogen and related opportunity looks like a big opportunity. We have a team working on it, but while we say so, at least our internal belief is by the time it gets converted to reality and there's some meaningful traction, it might still be 12, 18 months, if not more than that. I'm not saying that we're not working on it. We have a team which is looking at it both on manufacturing as well as EPC opportunities. But there are so many options and solutions and feasibility and liquidity and so many challenges, I'm just saying. So to us, it's a good opportunity, but maybe beyond 24-25. On the second aspect, as far as the US market is concerned, yes, that's a focused market from a long term. But while we say so, we have had very minimal traction there. We'll just supply towers to a few clients. We've not been able to get into the EPC space there. The markets are very different and very competitive, and we're still studying that market as far as US is concerned. On the Latin America play, the entire South America, whether it is Brazil, whether it is Chile, whether it is Peru, whether it is Argentina or the neighboring countries, we see a lot of traction coming up. We are selective on projects which we need to take. Brazil has not been a very good starter in the last 12 months, but we're pretty confident of turning it around by next year itself. Chile, we have done exceptionally well, and today we are among the top three contractors in the country on transmission. A few more countries, we are looking at those opportunities, but yes, that's a big opportunity for us. So we believe over the next 3 to 5 years, at least on the transmission side, we might be among the top three players in the Southern American market in totality.
Okay, and we believe to remain strong in Middle East, Africa and Southeast Asia.
Yes, sir, we'll continue to be present there as long as it is competitive and it gets us, reasonable returns. The challenge in some of these markets is there's so much competitive pressure that at times, whatever numbers you bid for become challenging by the end of the project, right? Because they're very different markets. Yes, we'll continue to be present, but our focus will be a lot more on newer markets and not the same markets where we are today.
Okay. And last question on the working capital side, particularly on KPTA. So because of this duty GST duty structure, our GST set off amount, outstanding is 312 crore. So how do we see, because this amount is keep on increasing. So that is also causing some kind of a working capital pressure?
Yes, for sure, Bharat Bhai, that was a challenge, but it's improved significantly after the revision and the rates on railway projects, which happened just 3-4 months ago. Earlier, railway projects were at a lower GST, so we had a challenge there. So we believe that this number should get down by the year end, because now the difference in, majority of the projects is very minimal. Now, railway is again at 18 and water has also gone up in JMC. So we would not have much challenges. It's only the historical credit which we need to utilize. So you'll see reduction happening, but not significant in the current year.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. All the best.
Thank you, Bharat.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Vinith Anand from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. One of the things that, the capital and GMC merger we had been talking about is the synergy, right? So first I wanted to understand that what is the differential in interest rate for KPTL and GMC today?
Yeah, Vinith, the differential interest rate is in the range of 200 to 300 basis points, depending on the kind of borrowing. It's much lower on NCDs, it's much higher on WCDL and CC limits, but it's in the range of 200 to 300 basis points.
And apart from this interest cost, you know, I'm assuming that, you know, the once the merger happened, it, everything will become KPTL's rating, right? What are the other aspects that one can, you know, monitor to have more, you know, benefits that can accrue in the next few years?
So, you know, we had articulated this earlier also. There are three segments where we are focused on, right? One is the savings in cost coming out of all our entire HORO and back office operations on several areas. But more than that is the opportunity of bidding for large projects using the civil, mechanical and electrical skill sets and one balance sheet, which will allow to us to bid for larger projects, which could be a much bigger opportunity. So if you look at the last 9 months, you see majority of our order wins are very high value projects. And if you compare it with any number for the last 3 years, you'll see a huge difference. So that's one ability which we are building, which is creating a team, cutting across streams and using a balance sheet to bid for it, in terms of guarantees, in terms of ability to take risk, all of that. Third, and again a big opportunity, is getting a lot of our businesses on the international foray. So what we have done in successfully internationally in transmission, we replicated that very well in the last 3 years on roads in a few geographies. We believe that, you know, with a focused approach, we can do that across all our segments. So with this three is where we believe that, you know, one, growth on revenue as well as margin should be possible. It's a journey which will take its time, but clearly it's a journey which will be very, very fruitful in the long run.
Thanks, sir. Those were very informative. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Amit Anwani from Prabhudas Lilada Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my question is, sir, on the 20% growth which you are talking about and achieving a $3 billion revenue by FY25. So are we factoring in any inorganic growth here? And how the domestic versus international will look like? Anything which you have factored in about this?
I mean, the answer, are we factoring in today any inorganic growth? The answer might not be very, means we are looking at inorganic opportunities, but not very significant in nature. Our approach in inorganic growth always, if you look at whatever we have done in the last 15 years, has been that buy companies which are small with a good team and then grow it. So even if we look at inorganic growth, it's not going to be significant in terms of numbers for the next 2 years. It will be significant from a long-term perspective, but not in terms of numbers for the next 2 years. And the second question was on, sorry, I missed the second one.
International.
Yeah, domestic and international, apologies. Yeah. I think the focus clearly is international from a long-term perspective. Today our revenue, if you look at it, is one-third international, two-third domestic. But getting into the next few years, it might be at the range of 50-50 or at least 45-55 till 2025. Beyond that, looking at opportunities, this numbers can be plus minus, but our focus on international business is a lot more given the visible opportunities and given our presence in more than 70 countries.
Sure, sir. So next question is on the working capital situation, which you might be seeing for the high growth segment, which you mentioned, including building factories, water and urban infra. Compared to the traditional segment which we had?
This is always a challenge for people like us in terms of growth versus working capital. And if you look at Kalpataru historically, if you pick up the numbers over the last decade, you'll see that we've always been conscious on working capital and it's never been revenue just for the sake of revenue. So while we have challenges in a few segments, which are back-end in terms of payments, but we will be focused on balancing this with segments where, you know, payments are not as stretched. On totality, we still believe that staying in the range of 120 days of net working capital at a consolidated capital JMC is what is achievable. And that's a good target to stay with the growth trajectory for the next 2 years.
Sure. So with respect to margins for next 1.5-2 years, so as we already highlighted that commodity softening and all other factors would definitely improve the margins from here. And we are talking about synergy post GNC merger. So how soon we are looking for double digit margin? Anything which you would like to highlight?
See, I just want to be cautious at this stage on saying that it's not that, you know, margins will not improve. Margins will definitely improve. But I'm not ready to commit a number as of now for the next year and the year after that. Yes, we have targeted to be at PBT levels of 4.5% to 5%, you know, going forward and even the current year. But EBITDA margins will continue to be in the range of 9% to 10%. Even in the for the next two quarters and even for the next year. But we will revisit these numbers when we get into Q4, because that will give us a lot more clarity on the order book for the next year.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Jainam Shah from Equirus Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Question relates to the KMC projects we already said. So earlier we were anticipating some stake sale in the Indian Shell. However, in the last one, we were anticipating refinancing of that project. However, in this current presentation, yes, we were not seeing any Indian Shell. So are you going for any refinancing of Indian Shell? We are just going ahead with the...
Your voice is not clear, sir.
Yeah, just a minute. Yes, sir. So I'm talking about the Vindhyanchal project. So earlier we were doing the stake sale for the project. However, in the earlier presentation, it has been mentioned that we are going for the refinancing of that project. However, currently in this recent presentation, there is no comment for the state project. So are we going for refinancing of that project, or we are just looking for Wainganga refinancing as of now?
So to answer you, the revenues have substantially improved. And we will be, so when it comes to the refinancing, options are open. But if you are asking we want it tomorrow basis, the answer is no. We will look at the right opportunity and go for the refinancing. But at the same time, there is no desperation.
Okay, okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's it.
Thank you. Next question comes from Thomas George, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Manoj and Mr. Tripathi. It's nice to connect with you again. I just had two questions, and pardon me for my ignorance if I missed the news. What was the status of the Turkish project for which we had taken, I think, the matter to court? And then I'll get to my second question after this.
Turkish project?
Yeah, there was a Turkish project.
No, I'm not sure we've taken any project in Turkey on building and factories or any of the other segments.
No, there was a joint venture partner from Turkey for, I think, one of our tunneling projects. And there was a news article that there were some issues regarding the security clearance
Sorry, I got it wrong. I thought a project in Turkey. Yeah, that was a project which we were bidding for NHAI, where we had a Turkish partner. I do not think we're getting that project. That we were L1 in that project, but for some reasons related to security and a few other aspects, we were not qualified for it. So we've removed that project out of our L1 and order book, out of our L1 long time ago. We'll not be getting that project, is what indication we have as of today from the relevant ministry and the officials.
Right, sir. And the second question is, again, a little bit more generic. So what is the way forward for imbibing new technologies in EPC field? I mean, what are we going to be doing in terms of getting more advanced in terms of capabilities as a company? If you can maybe share some words on that.
Sure. So I think this is a very good question and a very important question for our sector. You know, traditionally, our sector has been more brick and mortar, right? And it's been known as a sector which is brick and mortar. But if you look at the way technology has come into different segments of our sector over the last 5 years, it's just been amazing. So let me just spend a few more minutes on this. So transmission, we start from basics of transmission, right? Today on transmission, we have technologies which can take care of a lot of things. We can do drone stringing. We can use helicopters for erection. We can do, foundations using curing methodology by which the timing is very low. We can do erections using, technology by which the entire cycle comes down significantly. So there are technologies which are being built up in all segments. So transmission, a lot happening on stringing as well as on foundation. If I go to water, a lot happening in terms of the entire staging, shuttering, the entire technology to build the water pipelines as well as the reservoirs, right? Historically, we used to do staging, shuttering, which was plywood. Today, we have all shifted to aluminium and modular, and we are going beyond that. The entire O&M of water is now done using technology solutions which are unbelievable. And on machinery, when you look at it, you know, we recently had a big team which went to Bauma, which was there in Munich just a few weeks ago. And it was an eye-opener on the kind of opportunities on the machinery segment, not only on productivity, but productivity, fuel consumption, electricity-driven productivity, and monitoring of all parameters. So even on machinery, whether it is the dozers, excavators, which are very basic in, which is required at all projects, you're seeing huge improvement in technology. We no longer have problems which we have used to have in the past on fuel, on productivity, on how many hours of operation, and that's very helpful. But while we say so, we also need to remember, as I said earlier, we're still in brick and mortar. We'll still need labor to do a lot of things. Computers or robots will not replace them, and we'll still be a labor-intensive business. Even on buildings and factories, the kind of technology we're using on slabs, today we have reached a cycle where majority of our buildings and slabs are happening in 7 to 10 days, and sometimes less than that, which traditionally, if you go 5 years ago, used to be 20 or 25 days. Our biggest advantage on technology also is our SAP platform, which we have been using for more than 10 years, where everything in the organization, right, from a site DPR to a purchase order to a monitoring of any cash flow to a plant, output to MIS, everything comes from one platform, which is SAP, across all projects, across all countries. So we continuously are investing in technology. On an average, we've been spending more than 20-25 crores every year for the last 10 years. And that number will further go up based on what we have seen in the last Bauma on at least equipment and machinery. Even at the plant level, over the last 3 years, while the plant output has been very dismal because we have not had a lot of order book on transmission, but a lot of technology improvements have come, whether it is on the zinc coating and the relevant things, or whether it is the OEE at a plant as well as at every machine level. It's a big focus area for us, and we have a dedicated team which works on this real time. Our focus continues to be being real time connected to our workers, to our plant and machinery, and to our site. And today we have achieved that on a scale of 10, my view is 7 to 8, but that scale keeps on changing real time.
Right, sir, that's splendid. Wishing you all the best and much more success to come. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. That will be the last question for the day. Now, I hand over the floor to Ms. Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital for closing comments.
Yes, I would just like to thank everyone for being on the call and the management for giving us an opportunity to host you, as also answering all the questions. Thank you very much, sir, for the outlook, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you, Bhumika. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day, everyone.